WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Sacha Baron Cohen's new film Borat is a huge yet controversial hit. Since it opened, the filmmakers have been threatened with lawsuits from people in the film who claim they were misled or tricked. And it's prompted lots of debate about what kind of comedy it is and how far the comedy goes. But our critic at large, John Power, says it also gives an insight into the nature of documentary and reality programs.
I once did an interview for a British TV documentary about a Hollywood filmmaker whose work I greatly admired. The crew came to my house, and I spent an hour praising his movies in great detail, while they told me my remarks were brilliant. Months later, I saw the show. I appeared once, for a few measly seconds, making a mean joke about the director's one bad film. And I was outraged. I'd been completely misrepresented. So I understand why so many of the people in Borat are unhappy. And I'm not surprised that some of them, including the Romanian villagers who pass for lewd Kazakhstani brutes, are even planning to sue. They feel abused, betrayed, exploited. And their feelings are one reason the movie offers such a valuable glimpse into the nature of all nonfiction film, be it documentary or reality TV. You see, what happens in Borat is only a gaudier, higher-profile version of something that's been going on for decades. Somebody comes with a camera and films people's lives, often befriending them in the process. These people sign a release giving their permission to use what's been shot. And then the filmmakers go to the editing room, and they use that footage to serve whatever agenda they want to. In Borat's case, the result is essentially a ratcheted-up version of Candid Camera, or a punked that targets ordinary people. With the ruthless glee of a born comedian, Borat's creator Sacha Baron Cohen mainly wants to make audiences laugh. Laugh at how his victims react to Borat's startling lavatory practices or his bigoted remarks. Here, he baits a trio of longtime feminists.
So what means this feminism?
It's the theory that women should be equal to men in matters economic,
now,
social,
you are laughing.
And
yeah.
Political.
That is the problem.
Do you think a woman should be educated?
Definitely.
But is it not a problem that a woman have a smaller brain than a man?
That is wrong.
But the government scientist, Dr. Yarmak, have proved it is size of squirrel.
He's wrong.
Give me a smile, baby. Why angry face?
Well, what you're saying is very demeaning. Do you know the word demeaning?
No.
This scene is clearly just a goof. Its agenda is comedy, just as Michael Moore's agenda, for all his jokes, is ultimately political. He cuts his documentaries to make conservatives look foolish or evil. Of course, the agenda in nonfiction is often less ideological than sheerly dramatic. For example, the last season of Project Runway spent weeks portraying the eventual winner, Jeffrey Sebelia, as a creep. But when he made the final round, the program suddenly showed him with his girlfriend and child, and he instantly seemed warmer and more human. You grasp that your previous image of Jeffrey had been shaped to serve the show's need for a villain. Such shaping of reality goes on all the time in all documentaries, even those that pretend to be objective or that aspire to ennobling ends. In fact, it's the very nature of nonfiction that it's never completely innocent. It can't be. It's forever taking the enormous complexity of real life and then shaping an end determined by the filmmaker, not its subjects, which is why nonfiction projects nearly always leave somebody, or lots of somebodies, feeling exploited. This is vividly clear in the gripping new film 49 Up, the latest installment of the BBC documentary series that began filming a cross-section of British kids when they were just 7 years old. It has checked in on them every 7 years since then. Today, the subjects are 49, and now they're fighting back against how filmmaker Michael Apted has depicted them over the years. In the best scene, an East End mum named Jackie says she's always been angry at having her life treated as an emblem of working-class life. "I like it when you're angry," Apted says. "No, you don't," she snaps, noting that when she's been angry in the past, Apted never put that footage in the film. It didn't fit the slightly downtrodden image of her that he was then creating. Now it's to Apted's credit that he lets Jackie rebuke him on screen. Most filmmakers have far less conscience. And the world grows ever meaner in an era when technology devours privacy, when your foibles can be caught on video phones, then posted on YouTube, and when the line between reality and entertainment grows ever fainter. These days, more and more media outfits, even including The Daily Show, go out of their way to make ordinary people look foolish. That's why the abiding lesson of Borat is not that Southerners are bigots, or that frat boys are louts, or that Americans are ignorant, or that Sacha Baron Cohen is some kind of satirical genius. No, the real lesson is far simpler. If someone approaches you with a camera, even if it's your friend or your mother, think twice before signing that release.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.